This is Shades of Green Energy, Austin's live green talk radio show with your hosts, John Hoffner, Deborah Dubay, and Reed Sternberg.
We're live on 91.7 FM KOOP Hornsby Austin, Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. and streaming live online at KOOP.org.
Get program information and download past shows at shadesofgreenenergy.org.
The views expressed here are not necessarily the views of KOOP Radio, its board of directors, volunteers, staff, or underwriters.
We have our interview that we were lucky to have with the new Chief Sustainability Officer, Lucia Athens, and Deborah and Reed cornered her at the Go Green conference in Austin on April 6th, and she was very forthcoming in giving us an interview. And a little bit of background on Lucia. She spent much of her earlier career here actually in Austin. She worked in the city's Green Builder program, was a water efficiency program manager with the Lower Colorado River Authority, and operated a residential landscape design practice specializing in green design, native landscape, rainwater collection systems, and edible gardens. So she is an officer now, but she has done a lot of hands-on work in her past history. She, before coming back to Austin, she was actually up in Seattle working with a Collins Worman as a strategist on sustainability futures. So we're going to go right to the interview. This, again, is Lucia Athens with our Reed Sternberg, and it was at the Go Green conference in Austin on April 6th.
This is Reed Sternberg with Shades of Green Energy, and we are here live at the Go Green Austin conference, and we've got Lucia Athens with us, the new Chief Sustainability Officer for the City of Austin, and we're very happy to have you with us today, Lucia. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you so much, Reed.
So tell us a little bit. There's so many things we could have you talk about. So why don't we just freestyle here and you tell us where you'd like to go with some of the things that the city is up to.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about and to share with your listeners is an announcement that we actually just made at the conference this morning about a new program we're going to be offering. It's called Austin Green Business Leaders. And this is an effort that the city is undertaking to recognize people who are providing leadership in the green business community, and also to encourage folks who are interested in greening their businesses to get more information and access a lot of the technical assistance and incentive programs that the city offers. So the Green Business Leaders, the way it's being launched today in phase one, is really a pledge program. So if you want to become an Austin Green Business Leader, your company would take a pledge that you would take action on a number of different items that we have on a menu that we provide to the participants. And those include energy and water efficiency actions, waste reduction and recycling actions, actions related to water quality, and that has to do with how you maintain your landscape, if you have a landscape at your place of business, so that we can protect water quality. We also have a component that is on commute trip reduction, so to focus on transportation alternatives for your staff and employees. And then finally, there's a component on actually supporting employees to be more healthy, to have access to nutritious food and also fitness programs. So there's a whole variety of different things that we're hoping people in the business community will want to take advantage of, and you can select from our menu and take the pledge that you're going to take action on five of the different initiatives over the next 12 months.
Great. So it sounds like what you're doing is rewarding the existing leadership and the existing involvement, but it's also geared towards encouraging newcomers to get involved as well.
It really is, because one of the things that I found over the years working with the business community is folks are busy. I mean, we're all busy. And some of the really large corporations may actually have sustainability officers or efficiency experts that are assigned to really take advantage of opportunities that they have locally to, you know, implement conservation initiatives. But smaller business and medium-sized businesses, they probably don't really have that capacity, and they're maxed out with all the things they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis to keep their doors open and to keep operating their business.
Right.
So this program really brings together under one umbrella a lot of things that already are out there offered by the city and Capital Metro, but there's a single point of contact. So, you know, somebody that doesn't have very much time in the business to think about this on any given day can call one person who represents Austin Green business leaders, and they will connect them up with all the different resources that they need. They'll make sure they have what they need to get where they want to go. And then also those participants get to join kind of a network of that consists of other businesses who, as you say, may already be deep green businesses mm-hmm. and real leaders in this, and then mm-hmm. they're going to be able to share their expertise. And then there'll also be other businesses that are kind of newcomers to this. So really the idea is to bring together a network of people who can support one another, mm-hmm. Share information and ideas. And then the third component really is recognition. So businesses that participate in this will be able to use the Austin Green Business Leader logo mm-hmm. on their website mm-hmm. and be able to do some co-branding to tell people in the community that they're doing business with or that they want to sell their products to that they have stepped up and shown leadership. So I think that the kind of the branding potential will also be of value for folks.
Right. No, that's great. And one of the things that it has some things in common with what we do at the Texas Green Network as kind of the Green Chamber of Commerce, very atypical type of Green Chamber of Commerce and really more rooted in the environment world than where chambers of commerce typically approach this from. But one of the things that really struck me when you spoke at our event a few weeks ago was you talked about the triple bottom line. And that's something that I'm hearing here, and what you're talking about is the human element here and reaching out to the entire community. So tell me a little bit about how, if you want to touch on the triple bottom line for our listeners in general, but also just how, the importance of the human element here.
I would love to talk about that.
<I thought so.
laughs> Thanks for throwing me that softball, because it's one of my favorite topics. So a lot of times when people hear the term sustainability, they still think of the environment.
Right.
And that's not incorrect, but the environment piece is one of three pieces that make up the triple bottom line. So sustainability is really defined by bringing together those three elements. Those three elements are environment, economy, and also equity, which deals with kind of the social and human piece. So you can use the three E's, environment, economy, equity, as a mnemonic to remember the three pieces of the triple bottom line.
Right.
I think, you know, in the business community, the economic piece, of course, everybody understands that, but there's another dimension to it with sustainability, which really has to do with the local economy, supporting local businesses, buying local when you're making your purchase decisions, working with local companies and contractors and consultants. And then the social piece really deals with the human factor of all this. So health is a big component of it. Mm-hmm. How are we making sure that we live in healthy communities, that we have access to, you know, clean air and water, that we are fit, that we're really combating the obesity challenge, which mm-hmm. is a big challenge in our community, especially on the east side. And then also, you know, things like fair wages, like mm-hmm. being sure that, you know, we're actually using companies that integrate fair labor practices into what they're doing. And also, are we supporting small businesses and helping people, you know, from the ground up who are building small companies, minority and women-owned businesses? That all kind of comes into the picture and comes together. So when we bring all three together, the social piece, the kind of economic bottom line, but then also the conservation and environment piece, that's where we can try to find sustainability somewhere in the middle of all that.
Yeah, and I think of fair trade as an important issue in that a lot of times overlook, and we focused on that a few times too as something that is not quite on the beaten path so much as the obvious things like solar and recycling and subjects like that.
Absolutely, fair trade is a big piece of this. So I think when we start to look at all of those connection points with every activity that we do, where did the product come from? What country did it come from? How far did it come to get here?
Right.
What were the labor practices there in that country? And also just once you add all those things up together, what's the footprint of a particular product? And then once you have the product, where does the product go if, you know, someday you're done with it? Hopefully you bought a durable product that's going to last for a long time. But once it's come to the end of its useful life, what happens to it then?
Right.
If it's an electronic piece of equipment, is that going to actually get recycled into some of the e-waste network where it can be disassembled and remanufactured responsibly? Or is it a product, you know, that's easy to recycle or compostable? So that whole life cycle of every product is really important, and there's a lot there to get into.
And we're experiencing that with so many aspects of our lives. I mean, one example that I've run into is that I can't find a non-disposable toaster oven. You know, what do you do with a toaster after it dies, which is inevitable? You know, these are examples of some of the things that we're running into in every aspect of our lives.
I saw a really interesting program recently. It was on one of the major news networks. It was months ago. I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly what station it was, but they basically went into a home and they took everything out of the house that wasn't made in the U.S. And the family thought, oh, you know, well, a few things will be missing. They literally took everything out.
They didn't have much left.
There was almost nothing. Their house was empty.
Yes.
They came in and they were so shocked.
Right.
And so then, you know, the journalists worked with them to try to replace everything with things that were made in America. But when you said toaster oven, it made me think of it. They were trying to buy a microwave or a coffee maker. It was almost impossible
to find stuff
that was made
right.
here.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I mean, we have to be reasonable. There has to be some balance here. It's not that, you know, every single thing you buy is going to be deep green, because sometimes those choices aren't available. But the more we can move in that direction, move the market in that direction, and with our pocketbook and our checkbook, send those market signals that that's the kind of product and business that's desired, then we move the whole market with us, hopefully.
That makes sense. And we've been centered on, our economy has been moving in the direction of things being manufactured in places like China for so long. I had a similar experience. I actually, not long ago, was thinking about that subject and turned over 10 random items in my house. And of the 10 random items I turned over, 8 were made in China, 1 was made in Malaysia, and 1 was made somewhere else, but not the U.S. 0 items made in the U.S. from the 10 that I sampled.
Well, it's interesting, too, because the DIY, do-it-yourself community is actually starting to turn this whole thing on its head. Websites like Etsy, where you can go and get products from really small, little, you know, cottage manufacturing
I've heard
of people's homes, or artists. So there's a whole upsurging of folks that actually want to buy the handmade, the locally crafted, the individual, you know, kind of bespoke item that's unique, that there aren't, you know, a million of them being manufactured. And the Austin community actually has a really lively activity in this area. I'm amazed that all of the studios and, you know, local production that's happening here, all the different products I'm hearing about that are made here locally. For the creative community, I was amazed, the East Austin Studio Tour that happens annually, I think they have over 250 studios just on the east side alone.
Yeah, so a lot of those folks are my friends. I've been to some.
Well, it's an incredible creative community here, and that's part of the innovation, you know, that I think we need to think about how to leverage. I was talking at the conference this morning in my presentation about an article that just came out in this past Sunday New York Times by Allison Arieff. She wrote an article called "The Future of Manufacturing is Local," and she was talking about how, you know, we kind of have this collective pain as a society here in the United States that our manufacturing economy is dead. And it is true that some of the, you know, really big industrial manufacturing has been turned on its head, things like the steel industry or cars. But the truth is, we have this amazing upsurging of local, small-scale manufacturing that's happening. And in local communities, you know, we have that uniqueness to what we can do here, and we can actually market that, you know, made in Austin. You know, music, we're the music capital of the world.
Right.
So we're already kind of doing that with the music industry. So I think there's a lot of interesting opportunities there.
And opportunities to get synergy with things like the local food movement. We've got great farmers market. We have infrastructure there in the farmers market world. So as these things grow and become more mainstream as far as everyone's recognition of them, we do have an opportunity to tie those things together and get some additional synergy. And that's one of the things that Austin is a great place to be an incubator for, that kind of synergy.
Actually, synergy is a perfect word for this. There's an initiative called Byproduct Synergy, which actually looks to connect up resources from manufacturing, from consumers and producers, because a lot of times the waste product of one company actually can be, you know, the resource that another company needs to work with. So the food production one is an easy example, because you know, we can buy our food locally, and then the food waste we can compost and actually turn that into more food.
Right. Well, when I think of people typically going to their grocery store, a grocery store is no longer six aisles of food items. You also have, for crying out loud, you've got bicycles hanging in the aisles, and people go to their grocery store for a lot of other things. So I see what part of what I was kind of keying on there is picturing those things converging so that the idea of doing business locally can carry over to more of a one-stop shop for people that do participate in farmers markets, that want to be more aware of this type of opportunity. So I'd love to see the development someday of a local superstore type of environment that ties in all of these things together. I think there would be a lot of synergy. A lot of times taking it to the mainstream means convenience for people too. And I know that that's what a lot of the city has to do, is bring it to the people. So can you tell me a little bit, using that as a segue, can you tell me a little bit about some of the things that are going to be going on actively to bring some of the opportunities that Austin has to the local people in general?
I love that idea about having kind of the one-stop shop where somebody could go, and it's right there sitting on the shelf, so they don't have to go to 10 different stores
exactly,
to make an environmental choice. I think that's really key. It's actually one of the areas philosophically, even, that for my office, the Office of Sustainability, we want to try to bring things together, bring information together for people to make it easy for them. So the Austin Green Business Leaders Program is one example, just in terms of going to one place to get the information.
Okay.
We're building a new website right now for the office that is organized into some kind of big theme areas for sustainability, including health and economic vitality and environmental protection. And there'll be a web portal that people can connect up to a lot of information about even what's just happening internally at the city with the programs and incentives we offer. Similarly, there's Brandy Clark with the Austin Eco Network has a really wonderful kind of a mind map that you can use online to connect up with a lot of different things that are happening in the sustainability community. So that's kind of a virtual way of bringing it all together.
Sure.
So we'll get back to our interview here with our Chief Sustainability Officer at the City of Austin, Lucia Athens. And Deborah, you were on site, on location, recording that with Reed.
Exactly. And you can hear in this interview, you can hear the background noise of everybody chattering and talking and visiting with each other and finding out new stuff. So it was a very good conference, and we had a wonderful time and a very good interview going on with Reed Sternberg and Lucia Athens. We're really grateful that she took time to visit with us, and so thoroughly. I mean, she really chatted with us pretty, for quite a long time about what's going on in Austin with sustainability.
All right. Let's get back to the interview. Reed Sternberg and Lucia Athens.
Sounds good.
One of the examples that I like in terms of a business here locally that's bringing it all together is the Black Star Brew Pub Cooperative, which I've been hearing a lot of really good things about. Their website says that they're the world's first co-op brew pub,
right.
And they're green in many different ways. They're located adjacent to a Capital Metro station, the Crestview station. They're pursuing LEED certification, so green building for their facility. They take all of the spent grains from the brewery, and those are picked up by a local farmer to compost and to feed to his horses. And then they do their own composting pickup. And then also their fryer oil is turned into biodiesel by Diesel Green Biofuel. So they're looking at all those components, as well as the fact that they are a cooperative. So they have all of these people in the community that have invested in this local business. And one of the things I've said for years, I just came here from the Northwest, where microbrews are a really
everywhere.
Big part of the culture. And one of the things I've said for years in terms of the environmental footprint of a product, what could be more sustainable than drinking a beer on the premises of where it was brewed?
Sure.
There's no transportation to get it to you once it's brewed. You're right there.
Well, I'm involved in so many different environmental organizations around Austin, and they have been a great partner to a number of them. So we've had good beer at some of our events, and we thank them for it. And we have great support from so many local sponsors and local companies. But it's really great to have some good examples of companies that are approaching things from a real wide variety of different approaches. And we're at a point now where awareness of sustainability in general is becoming more mainstream, and now it's time to connect the dots for people as far as what the whole picture means and what it can mean. Not to overuse the word synergy, but 2 + 2 does not equal 4. It equals more.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I think that it's really exciting when we start to kind of capture some of those dynamic interrelationships, and we can leverage our resources when we're, you know, working together and collaborating more closely. I mean, we're in such an amazing center of creativity here in Austin, and you know, the city is already working very hard to bring green businesses here. You know, Sun Power was just recruited to be here, a solar company, and you know, we can go all up and down the chain from the big businesses to the small ones. We've got really great small and minority business programs to support some of the small businesses that are, you know, trying to get a foothold here. One of the examples, I think, a really great example of where I call it micro enterprise support would be the food trailer program that we have,
right?
Which is really robust and is, I think, really a model for other cities in terms of how can we, you know, provide a venue for small restaurants that can't afford to, you know, have a big operation and a full scale retail establishment, really build them from the ground up, support them, and also it creates an inexpensive way for people to go out and actually have something to eat. So
yeah.
I actually have used that as a model when I was back in Seattle. I talked about the food vendor program here.
Right. Well, you know, before all of that really kicked off, and Austin really is becoming known for that, I had a friend that actually built a truck and was doing that in Vermont and drove his truck all the way to Austin to keep a kind of, I guess it was like a burrito out of a truck business. And interestingly enough, it was also a biodiesel truck that he drove all the way from Vermont to Austin to do the business here. So
that's great.
I think people get that as that type of micro business element as being, it's not a mutually exclusive thing from the community that has interest in all these other topics that we're talking about. So it's great to see in an official capacity and people from the city understanding the big picture and understanding that it ties. So hopefully you will be a great, I know you've got this a great array of things where you're able to be an influencer to the public. Can you share with me a little bit about how you're an influencer within the city's infrastructure as well?
Sure, that's a really great question. And yes, my role is out in the community, but it all is also about the sustainability of our internal operations.
Sure.
As an entity. And you know, the city itself, we do have a pretty big environmental footprint for our operations. We have a very aggressive climate protection program and climate protection plans that are administered out of my office. And those really deal with each department focusing on how to lower their greenhouse gas footprint.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the greenhouse gas footprint of our city operations, 51% of that is from pumping water. A lot of people are really surprised when they learn
that's
that.
That's really disturbing, yeah.
So you start to really realize how these things are all interconnected, back to the synergy again, that you know it's not just energy use that has a climate footprint. Your water use has a pretty good, big climate footprint.
Right.
So we actually have great creativity coming up through the ranks of our organization to come up with new solutions for what we can do about some of these things. So my favorite recent example of that actually is our EMS folks. They were really focusing on how to reduce greenhouse gas emissions associated with their operations. And I never knew this before, but I've learned since I've been here that ambulances actually have a pretty big greenhouse gas footprint. The reason specifically for that is that there's a lot of medical equipment on ambulances that has to be kept operating.
Right.
And so traditionally, what happens is when an ambulance is in between runs, taking somebody back and forth to where they need to go to get emergency medical support, they sit with the engine idling to keep all that equipment running. If they don't sit there with the engine idling, there's such a draw on the battery that when they try to start up the ambulance again, it'll be dead. The battery will be dead.
Well, and we're talking about usages that are possibly on the level of a refrigeration truck.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
I kind of picture that.
There is refrigeration. That is part of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So they came up with this really cool idea to put solar panels on the roofs of the ambulances so that the solar power being generated could provide the backup power so that they actually can turn them off and run off the battery that's being powered by the solar panels on the roof. There's only one other jurisdiction, I think it's somewhere in Florida, that's doing this right now. So they just launched this. There was a big emergency medical services convention here recently at the convention center, and they just made a big announcement about it. So it's just, that's an example of the kind of ingenuity. I would never have thought of doing something like that because I don't know enough about the specifics of the operations of EMS. That's where, you know, we're really reliant on the knowledge, the deep knowledge, and the creativity and the desire to make a difference coming from, you know, all different aspects of the city.
So your role is not to be the idea person for everything that the city does, but to help encourage and support and kind of bring out of the woodwork efforts from a lot of different places.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, I'm a smart person, but I'm not that smart. And there's a lot
There's only so many hours in the day, too.
That's right, too. And there's a lot of aspects to this. So yeah, partly my role is to shine a light on the good things that are happening and, you know, amplify those and do more of those things. But also, you know, where we're not doing as well as we could be, to focus on that and help identify, you know, what are the barriers people are running into? Why aren't we achieving as much as we could be from a sustainability standpoint, and try to help problem solve on that? And also look at, you know, the policies that the city has for its own internal operations, as well as policies that impact our entire community.
Yeah. I perceive transportation as being one of the things that Austin is facing as a big issue. Is there anything you'd like to address specifically with regard to transportation issues or solutions there?
Sure. Well, we've got a whole series of meetings that are happening right now on the scoping process for urban rail. So you can go to the Transportation Department website to get information about those meetings so that you can listen, find out more about what's going on and voice your opinion. So we have some very exciting, you know, recent investments in urban rail, and more to come on that. So I think that's actually huge for the city. The other piece I wanted to talk about that's a little bit smaller scale but I think equally important is investments in electric vehicle infrastructure. So as we're seeing the new electric cars coming out of the marketplace, you know, folks that are early adopters that are buying those now, eventually they have to be looking at that question of, you know, where can I charge up if I want to go further than just, you know, to work, and I need to charge and I'm not close to home. How am I going to be able to do that so that I have, you know, long distances that I actually can drive with this car? So the city is just now in the process of starting to install electric vehicle charging stations all over the city. There's going to be about 200 of those eventually. It is supported by federal funding. Uh-huh. So we've got a few of those installed now, and you're going to be seeing a lot more of those to come. Some of them are going to be at city facilities, and others are going to be out at private facilities where there'll still be public access. So really excited about that.
Yeah.
And just really looking at where the technology is going on mobility and alternative mobility.
Well, it's great to hear that you are a thinker on a broad number of topics. There's been such a buzz about your arrival, and even the process of filling the role that you're now in had such a buzz about it. So it's really great to have. For those of you who don't know, we're here talking with Lucia Athens, who's the Chief Sustainability Officer for the City of Austin. And that means a lot of stuff, probably in any city, but especially in a city like Austin, where even when you're ahead of the curve and doing so much like Austin is, there's still so much to be done. It must be a very complex job.
It's complex, but I love it. And I couldn't be more thrilled to be in this role here in a city that's already exhibited so much leadership and really wants to do more. There's a tremendous commitment from our city manager, our mayor, our city council, and really very committed department heads and staff, all wanting to work together to, you know, keep us moving in the right direction, keep us on the edge of leadership, and there's a lot more to be done. So I look forward to being able to come back on the show and talk to you more about things that we're doing as they emerge.
And I'm sure there will be a plethora of things that we can talk about at that next opportunity. So we really thank you for joining us today. This is Lucia Athens, Chief Sustainability Officer with the City of Austin. And I'm Reed Sternberg with the Shades of Green Energy Show. Thank you, Lucia.
Thank you, Reed.
You're listening to Shades of Green Energy live now. That was a pre-recorded interview that Reed Sternberg did on April 6th with Deborah in the background. Not one of those voices speaking, but there was a lot of activity, and that was for the Go Green Austin Conference, again, on April 6th. Thanks to Reed, and thanks to Lucia Athens for joining us on the recorded interview. Hopefully we'll get her back live in the studio in the next couple months to get more updates and find out really some of the things that she's implemented for the city.
You have been listening to Shades of Green Energy, recorded live at KOOP 91.7 in Austin, Texas.